There was probably one more item I should mention in this, on this topic, and that is that as part of our budget agreement last May with the state of Delaware, open space was part of the agreement with between the three counties and the state. That what happened is the state budget office asked the three counties to meet with them to try to help with their budget situation, and of course our concern was the level realty transfer tax revenue that we that the three counties receive. One of the things that was agreed upon at that time was that the counties would agree to contribute monies to open space, and Newcastle was, I believe, $3.5 million, Sussex $1.5 million, and Kent County $1 million. But one of the after that agreement was reached on July 1st, there was an addendum to the grant and aid bill that affected would affect paramedic funding for the next fiscal year, not this fiscal year, but fiscal 2010, would drop it from 40% to 30%. So that's, you know, I just wanted, that was not something that we had agreed to when we sat down with the state.
And there's a new administration since we made this agreement, right? We agreed, we made this with the Minner administration, and so now we have the Markell administration. So things could change. So, right. I mean, how much of a commitment when you agreed? We didn't sign anything. It was just a...
No, we didn't sign anything.
Okay, so, but I understand what you're saying. So, because there's some concerns.
But I just wanted to make you aware of that and that, thinking okay. about this.
And the demand for development to develop the farmland is way, way off. And falling further and further off. So that release, that's some of the pressure is off.
Mr. Baker, to clarify, are you suggesting that the verbal agreement that we made last year with the state may be viewed as null and void because the verbal agreement that they made with us on paramedics was broken?
Well, that's up to us to decide. I think they did not change the state contribution for paramedic funding for fiscal 2009. They continued that at 40%, and they left the realty transfer tax. They let the counties continue to collect the realty transfer tax as we have in the past. But
what is the dollar figure that change represents?
By that change, if it goes into effect in fiscal 2010, would cost us about $1.3 million.
Okay. Do the council members have any comments about this?
We should take it under advisement.
Take it under advisement.
You've learned.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yes.
Appoint a committee.
Yes.
No, we don't do it. We don't appoint.
No, we fully appoint committee. No,
just take it under advisement.
Okay, take it under advisement.
Okay. The next item is the explanation of the subdivision appeal process. And we do have, occasionally, as we have in the past, we received, or the county council receives appeal requests from decisions made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And so we do have one for your consideration coming up, but we thought it might be a good opportunity prior to discussing that individual case is maybe Mr. Griffin and Mr. Lang could explain to the new county councils, especially how that appeal process works and what is involved. And I do have a copy of the county code to hand out regarding this. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Griffin.
Mr. Lank.
Good morning.
You want me to go first, or would you like to do this, Lawrence?
You might want me to go first, because I might lose my voice before I get very far.
Go ahead.
And I didn't realize David had a document to pass out. So I have to say.
You need some water?
No, I'm fine.
They can't even go at all.
I did a quick memo for the purpose of the council. I did include a copy of probably the same thing David passed down, the section of the code. And also provided a copy of the subdivision process information sheet I provided to the new council person and back in November, just so they would see it in general what the process is for a subdivision. rather than go through the, or we can go through the entire text, that's about 2 pages of the appeal process. But in general, we go through a subdivision, applications filed, we schedule public hearings. Right now, the scheduling process takes 16 to 20 months. We hold a public hearing, and then there's a decision. A person agreed, whether it be the applicant or opposition or whatever, could appeal to council. And in that process, they would have to appeal within 30 days of the decision of the commission. And in their appeal process, there is a, they have to state that they are filing an appeal. There's a fee involved. It's a $500 fee to appeal. And they would then have so many days to provide for a transcript. And the transcript's a full-blown transcript of everything stated in the public hearing process. And the duty of the council is to review that transcript and see if the commission, in their findings, made a logical decision. And the council could, and within 60 days, has to respond. And then when you respond, it would, you could refer it back to the commission, or you could make a decision on your own. And we've had that process take place a couple times this year. And there is one pending that will come up in the next month or so where it will be necessary for you as council people to make that decision. That's just in general.
It seems like we're getting a lot of them. Is it your sense that we're getting more now than we did in the years past? The last couple of years?
And the last, most of the appeals that we've had in the last year have not been for the decision on the subdivision as far as the action of whether it's approved or disapproved. It's been a condition of approval where the commission had imposed conditions that the applicants don't agree to, and it's not specifically required by the code.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalks on both sides of the street, street lighting, et cetera. So they have, that's what most of the appeals have been based on. We haven't really had an appeal by the opposition as far as an appeal of an approval.
Right.
It's been mostly the applicant following the agreement.
It sounds like to me, Mr. Lank, that they're trying to make the law instead of enforce the law here.
You mean the commission?
Yeah. That's why the appeals, it looks like to me.
And that's, I don't know that they're trying to make the law, but they're coming up with conditions that the
applicant objects
to.
Well, they should interpret the law, I should say.
It's an interpretation, it definitely
is. But, you know, it's,
Mr. Griffin?
And also a thing that's kind of been evolving in this over the past 5 years is the body of the case law that's coming out of the courts. And primarily those cases have come out of Kent County through a series of decisions. The most recent one of those was earlier, I guess in December, the Ashburn case. And what those cases are, the reason those cases were being filed is that there were situations where the Kent County Regional Planning Commission would turn down a subdivision that was a subdivision that was allowed as a matter of right. And the subdivision code may have, ours has 17 factors that the commission's supposed to consider. I'm not sure how many Kent counties has, but there were several situations where the Regional Planning Commission in Kent County denied, but based the denial on matters that were not the criteria in their ordinance.
Right.
And what the courts were saying is that you should make your decision based on those factors, those code factors. And if you look to non-code factors, you shouldn't use the non-code factors as a reason to deny, but you can use the non-code factors as a way to come up with a condition that alleviates a concern, but still approving the subdivision.
Which they did in our cases. Here at Sussex County, we have seen where planning and zoning has approved the subdivision. We haven't denied it. Was Kent County denying them, or were they?
Well,
these cases?
In that case, they were. In several of those cases, they denied them, or planning and zoning would recommend, and Kent County would recommend approval, then the county council would turn it down. They've had it both ways. Another thing I've seen more of, and Lawrence would know this better than me, is that we have a situation where the plan is approved, but a condition gets imposed that the developer doesn't like or doesn't agree with, so they're trying to get that condition alleviated.
And something that has changed recently is the ability for someone other than the applicant to appeal.
Yes, but so far we haven't had private citizens filing the appeal, even though we amended our ordinance to create that possibility.
Correct.
They could appeal directly to county council, is what you're saying?
If they're unhappy with the decision rendered by the commission after the public hearing, a private citizen can also appeal, even if the developer or applicant does not appeal.
Would the private citizen pay $500 and get a copy of the transcript as well?
The same procedure would apply whoever files it.
Mm-hmm. It's not cheap, is it?
No.
Originally, the appeal process was only the right of the applicant.
Originally.
We amended the ordinance to allow for anyone aggrieved to file.
But those are the only conditions. That's how they get there.
Well, they within 30 days after the commission makes their decision, they have to give notice that they're appealing. Then, within 30 days after that, they've got to file the transcript. The reason for that transcript is to prevent council from having to hold a 2 or 3 hour hearing on something the commission's already held a hearing on. Then, after the transcript is filed, then council has 60 days.
Now, Jim, with our 17 reasons that we created a number of years ago to address giving planning and zoning the flexibility to address some of these concerns or some issues maybe that were site-specific or whatever, do you sense, or Vince, or either of you guys sense a problem with what we have, our ordinance, that should be amended, corrected, improved, eliminated? You know, what are we doing wrong? Or if we're not doing anything wrong, it's just then it's an interpretation of a majority of the county council when appeals come.
Well, Mr. Robertson probably sees that more than me because he sits with a commission. I mean, Vince, do you have anything you'd like to add to that as to whether those 17 conditions give the commission an adequate basis for consideration or whether council needs to look at maybe adding some additional facts?
I'm concerned because of what he just alluded to, these court cases that are popping up in different counties, not so much here, but other places that maybe drive us to do certain things. So where should we be, or if we're fine?
I think with the 17 conditions, I'm not sure that the Ashburn case would say that those 17 conditions give the commission now. And the Ashburn case came out, I think, late December, mid-December, that necessarily gives the commission the ability to outright deny an application. I don't think that's the case. That goes more to the conditions that Ashburn talks about, you know, that the commission could impose conditions to address concerns that correspond with those 17 items. I think what's perhaps something that also comes out of there is that if there's a concern that the commission has that's more of a policy concern, that needs to be dealt with through the ordinances, and maybe that's something that the commission needs to present to county council. These are our overreaching concerns, and that would be somewhere where the ordinance would need to be changed rather than trying to do policy through the public hearing process. Mm-hmm. That would be my only suggestion at this point.
Because what we're seeing is not denials. We're seeing, like I say, the developer doesn't like, he was cutting densities, typically is what it is, you know, because of maybe whatever the commission felt. And it appears to me that if they follow those 17 and they can have that flexibility to be able to do that. So we haven't really denied anything here. What we're doing is we're making conditions that they don't like and they come in here and they get overturned. So what I'm trying to find out, is there a way that we can tighten things up? If there's some improvements, if you could make some suggestions to the commission, and because we got a new group here, and I think we ought to curtail some of this. Gives the impression planning and zoning is making mistakes. Not following the code, like what you know, Sam said. They're making law; they're not following the law. I have that same opinion, but that could be the opinion out there. I'd love to be able to squash that and get back to where the planning and zoning is doing the right thing, because you're sitting there giving them guidance. Jim gives us guidance, and you guys should be on the same page. And why are they here?
I'd just like
to eliminate some of this, you know.
Before directing staff to take action, I would like to ask if there is any objection from the council.
I don't have
any objection, but I'd like to clarify something. Do we now know that as a result of Ashburn that the commission cannot deny a subdivision?
No, the commission can certainly deny a subdivision, and that's spelled out in Ashburn. I mean, they have the ability for the reasons
they
that are
set
forth
in
that case. Yes.
But it has to be based on the 17, one of the 17 factors?
No, it has to, if the application does not meet the requirements set forth in the code, then it could be denied. There's, I think there's four possible outcomes. One, it doesn't meet the requirements in the code. Two is that you could approve it with the conditions to address specific concerns about the application. I think three is you just approve it outright. And the fourth is if you have concerns that there's not enough information regarding either the requirements of the code or specific conditions.
I mean, outright
you could
denial.
Table it.
I'm talking about outright denial.
It says you can if it doesn't meet the
still have the right
oh,
yeah. mm-hmm. to outright denial.
But if they, the difficulty is if they meet all those right. conditions and then they get denied, that's where you're into the
right.
denied for reasons other than that. Like,
okay.
Like there was a room packed with people who said we don't want it, for instance.
That's not a good enough reason.
Right. That's right.
Is there anything else?
Okay, is there any, Mr. Phillips, is there any?
It doesn't appear to be an objection.
Yeah,
if you'd like to put that
to...
in a formal motion, we can vote
well,
on it.
Well, I just, if it takes a motion, I guess. Jim, should we make a motion?
I didn't think it did. But...
Address, I don't know if it's something, I guess, you and Vince should
would
do.
Would you like the commission to tell council whether it feels
yeah, I don't think
it
so.
Needs these 17 factors refined or added to? Is that?
What I would like, my thoughts are, I would like to have Vince work with the Planning and Zoning Commission and come with us with some recommendations to improve, to eliminate, to do whatever. Okay, and that would tighten this up so that we don't go into this next year and with new people and everything, and we're all confused for another year or two. So,
well, if we would like to, why don't I suggest a motion be made to direct the planning and zoning attorney to work with the Planning and Zoning Commission to clarify the issues that have currently arisen between the planning and zoning's decisions and the county council's overturning of an appeal. Is that what you're after?
Yeah, it's the appeal process. We're given the impression that planning and zoning is making mistakes, and I don't know if that's true.
So that we can have formal discussion,
yeah.
You make that motion?
Yeah, I'll make
that motion. Made by Mr. Cole. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And there's a second by Ms. Deaver. I'd like to open it up now for discussion. Mr. Wilson.
What I recommend the Planning and Zoning Commission to do is follow the ordinance and not your opinions. That's what I recommend.
And that's going to be?
Not be making laws as they give their opinions here.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the council here to make the ordinance and have public hearing. We made these ordinances.
Right.
And they need to go back and follow these ordinances.
Right.
I think sometimes they're not doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Benson, do you have anything?
Is the motion just to deal with
appeal process?
Appeal process.
Yeah.
We're not asking them to look at their whole program and see if there's recommendations they might have on something that could be made better or...
No, I would just hope that our Planning and Zoning Commission, if they did have some serious problems in there, they would alert us to them, as just a course of action or procedure. But what I'm talking about here is we're seeing a rash of appeals,
mm-hmm.
and the appeals are from the developers primarily, worried about concerned about the conditions that were placed on them, and they come here and they get overturned. And there have been comments where Planning and Zoning has erred in their decision making, and I don't think they have, and some of us think they have. So what I'm trying to do is, if there's a problem with these 17 conditions we cite, or how we cite them, how we do it, I just for some improvements. Let's get some improvements. We got like I said, some fresh faces up here. Let's try to nip this before it gets just drags on like a festering sore or something. So,
no, I mean, I agree.
That's
with
all
that.
It is. That's all it is. I don't know the answer, Vince. I'm just hoping that Mike, Vince will come back with a.
I mean, I guess my thought would be that if we're going to have them look at that, why not just ask them a question if there's anything they see that they think could be improved upon or need to be changed, or they would come back
that
with any recommendation, not just.
I believe ultimately Mr. Robertson will be bringing to us a memo. Maybe a 10-page memo, but it will be a memo outlining what he has been able to determine is the conflict between planning and zoning and the council. And Mr. Cole and I can attest that the last few months has created a lot of conflict, and ultimately it may require an ordinance that would change our code to tighten it up, as some have said. And at that point, we would have public hearings, and we would discuss those potential changes. I think Mr. Cole and Ms. Deer believe there needs to be some clarification in the process, and I don't believe I have a problem with that either.
Yeah, I believe if you streamline the system, you know, the way it works, it would save us a lot of money yeah, because we've been having a lot of appeals, and it's expensive to the taxpayer to go through all this. And we need clarification, and we can do better.
Do you understand what you're being asked to do?
Absolutely. I'll put it on an agenda for the commission.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Is there any other discussion before we call for the motion?
I make a motion.
It actually is on the floor. We'll call for the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.